All right, so just to give you a little backstory on how we got to where we're at today with Pastor Louise and Daniel sharing. So about a year ago, maybe even a little more, Daniel had reached out to me, Pastor Daniel. He's from Riverview Christian Fellowship in Coos Bay. And kind of let me know that there was an opportunity to come alongside a ministry that they have really been pivotal in helping down in Mexico, down there in Ensenada. And that he was extending this invitation to some of the other Calvary chapels on the coast. We kind of uniquely minister in a certain area on the coast and share a lot of the same highs and lows. And so we have some things in common, and he was just throwing it out there. Hey, you know, there's an opportunity. We've been going down there. We've been supporting these guys. We've been practically serving alongside them. The Lord's doing a really awesome work. And so if you guys don't know, if you've been going to church for a while, you know that we've always been a mission-minded church. That's part of the Great Commission. Jesus says to take the gospel to all ends of the earth, right? So that starts in our Jerusalem. That's right here in Clatsop County. But then that extends everywhere. And so we've always made it a point to tithe on the tithe as a church. And because of your generous giving, we've been able to give to missionaries ever since this church has started. We've sent out many people. We supported missionaries, and we used to, pre-COVID, take multiple trips a year to practically go serve, and those trips were pivotal in my growth in Jesus. I always say that you should, my pastor told me, and I agree, you should always try to go on at least one short-term mission trip a year, because you get away from the busyness of life with no other purpose than to go and to seek Jesus, and you can just hear him clearer. And it always, sometimes we go with this mentality of we're going to go serve and help people, but it's you that gets met by the Lord in a far greater way. And so COVID kind of shook some things up, and we haven't had a lot of opportunities since then to go on short-term trips. But having said that, recently, the Lord's been kind of, I see a stirring. I see opportunities arising. We're actually, if you guys didn't know this, we're sending Will Cancharla and Pastor Stephen to go to India in November. We got invited on a trip there with an organization we support, Send Hope Now, and they're going to go and they're going to go to some pastor conferences and encourage pastors, and then they're going to check out and prayerfully look at some potential opportunities for ministry near where Will's from. So there might be some opportunities for the future ministry there we're praying about. I can tell you right now there's going to be indefinite opportunities for you guys to come to London and do outreach, and so... And I will try to make that as easy as possible, because we'd love to have you guys come and visit. So, but then Daniel presented this opportunity, and it really resonated, because we used to have connections down in Baja, and that's a really easy place to just get in a car and drive down overnight and relatively cheaply be able to go and serve alongside missionaries and ministries down there. And so it really intrigued me. It got me excited. Daniel was going to come up here and share about it at one point, but he had to get back surgery, and that kind of threw a wrinkle. But when I found out, like, Pastor Louise and his family were going to be here, I was like, dude, you guys should come up, you know? And so they've been doing that over the last couple weeks, sharing at different Calvary chapels on the coast. And so they're here today to share this ministry and for us to pray how the Lord would want us to come alongside it and help out. So I'm going to let Pastor Daniel and Pastor Louise come up here, and they will share what the Lord put on their hearts today.
You can clap, Titus. Yeah, my son here started to clap for us as we jumped up on stage. Hey, so glad to be here. Thank you for the introduction, Chris. We're just excited to be able to share all that God's doing. Wow, that's a good picture.
There
you go. You look.
I'm looking good.
Or you look pretty good up there, too. Hey, just a couple things. You're going to see this image up here. It's got a QR code. Everyone knows how those work. You scan your, pull up your camera, and it scans it, and it will take you to a website. And so that's how that works. It'll open up a website that we've created for a lot of this work that we're doing down in Mexico. So I actually forgot, Chris, that I was supposed to come up here and share about this before until you just mentioned that. So that was like a year and a half ago. Yeah, so it's a long drive from Coos Bay. Anyone made that trek recently from Coos Bay to Astoria? It's a long trip. But so blessed to be able to share with you guys. Again, Chris did a good introduction. He said we were at some other Calvary chapels. We were actually Luis and his family were at South Beach Church with Luke Frechette this last Sunday, sharing there. The Wednesday night before that, we were down at Bandon Christian Fellowship in Bandon. And the pastor there, you might have heard of him. Kind of an interesting guy. His name is Jason Beal. And he actually just took over at that church several months ago for my dad, who just retired. So really neat connections. We got to share at Jason's church there in Bandon. And then, of course, the Sunday before that at our church in Coos Bay at Riverview. It's been an awesome time. And Luis and his family have been all over the place. And I'm going to do a little bit of sharing. I'm hoping Luis will do most of the sharing. No. His English is very good. He doesn't think so, but
it's not.
It is good. It's much better than my Spanish. But we kind of want to just take you a little bit through the history of how this really all came about. Chris, and I don't know if you guys were involved in the mission at Carmen Sudan at all. Okay, you took teams down to Carmen Sudan. And that's an orphanage. That's actually where we met, is at Carmen Sudan. And that's as well an orphanage that I had been going down to and visiting since the late 90s. And Carmen Sudan is an orphanage that takes care of severely handicapped individuals. Most of them are adults now that they've taken in. And it's an awesome work there that the orphanage does. And at Riverview, God's really provided a lot of men that want to work, you know, do work with their hands and go on mission trips and accomplish things. Building-wise, and so we were going to Carmen Sudan to work on building projects and such, and that's kind of where our relationship began, and we'll get to that in a little bit, but when we met at Carmen Sudan there at the orphanage, Luis's family was there, and we just had a special connection that the Lord, have you ever had that before with somebody, where you meet them, and you're just like, okay, there's something here, and you can't put your finger on it, you can't even explain why, but you're just like, this meeting, this relationship is of the Lord, and God's got something more that he wants to do here than just a friendship, more than just seeing each other for a week on a mission trip. And so that's where our relationship began, and that was like 2020, I think, yeah. Right? In the middle of the pandemic and all of that, we were like, what can we do? Hey, we can go to Mexico and kind of do whatever we want, right? Not so, they're actually stricter down there during the pandemic than the U.S. was. But so that's what where we met. And Luis, you're going to hopefully find out more about him and grow in your love and connection with him. One thing I'll just say is that postcard up there, we've got a bunch of these out on the table in the foyer. So grab one of these by the end of today and stick it on your fridge or whatever. It's got the QR code and a little description with the website on the back. Just to stay in touch and stay up to date with the work that we continue to be doing down there in Mexico. So I want Luis to share with you just a little bit of his story so you get to know him. So Luis, why don't you tell us a little bit about your upbringing? You know, your as a child, maybe, you know, were you raised in a Christian home? Were you raised with a mom and dad that loved Jesus? Or like, you're serving the Lord with all your heart now, but was it always that way?
No, it wasn't that way. Good morning, church. First of all, I just want to say that this is the fourth stop. This is the fourth church where we've been. And it's been hard to talk, not about the language, but because we have been talking about me, about my family. We usually talk about Jesus up here, right? Yeah, because I respect this place, and I know that this place is to talk about Jesus and his love. But we need to talk about a little bit of context so you know where we come from and what we're doing in Mexico. So, yes, actually, I grew up in an abused home. It was hard. My childhood, it wasn't good. My dad hit my mom for a few years, and I was 6, 7, and 8 years old, and it was hard to me, for my brothers. We were three brothers. I'm in the middle, and yeah, it was hard. It was hard, but I didn't know in that time that everything that I was living in that time it's going to work for my future. Yeah. So I didn't know in the time, but now I know that. I know that every God was preparing my heart to do something that situation that I was living, it was going to be so helpful to this. So yeah, it was hard. My parents got divorced when I was 8. And they got divorced. I lived with my dad. I lived with my dad. So they got in a, I don't know how to say, when they got to the court. And
yeah, when they went to the court for the divorce.
Yeah, but it was hard because we stayed with my father, and we wanted to be with my mom. And it was hard. So we stayed living with my father till we were 18. Mm-hmm. So that was a long time. My mom and my mother, they weren't Christian at the time. And after they got divorced, my mom received Christ in her heart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, praise the Lord.
So, yeah. And I was living with my father, but my father was not a present father because he was a fisherman. And he went out for 4 to 6 months, and they come back, and it was hard. It wasn't easy.
Yeah. Yeah, and so you lived with your dad for those years. It wasn't an easy childhood. Mm. Your dad had been abusive, didn't know the Lord, but your mom got saved.
Yeah.
And then at age 19... is when you met Nubia, right? Yeah, tell us about that a little bit.
Yeah, I came out of my house, of my father's house, and I looked for my mom. I wanted to be with her and living with her. And I was 19 at that time, so she was Christian at that time. And she was praying a lot for us, for their babies, you know. She was praying, and she presented me, introduced me to Jesus Christ. But I remember I rejected her many times. I was living the fast life, how do you say? Yeah, that's what we say in Spanish. Living the fast life, and I didn't want nothing with Jesus. But after a year, I remember pretty clearly that I was tired. I was young. I was 19, and I wasn't old. But I was feeling tired about life. I didn't want it to be to life like that. And I was pretty sure that there was something else for me. And I remember one night, I came at home and told my mom, "Hey, mom, I'm very tired of this life. I want something different." And I remember you told me that there's a God that can change my life. Yeah. So I want to try it. And he put a smile on her face. And told me, okay, Luis. He said, "Tonight there's a special service at church. So come up here." Yeah, and we went. So I was so convinced to make a change in my life. I was so convinced. And when I get to the church, the first things I heard at the doors, it was a preacher on the altar. And he saw me and he said, "Hey, you want to receive Christ in your life?" Really? And I say, "Yes, I want it. I want it." So I went to the altar, and I remember I was standing. It was kind of this measurement. I was standing over there, and he said, "Lift your hands." And he started praying, and without touching me, I started crying a lot, and I started feeling so good, like if God was forgiving me for all my sins in the past. Yeah. And I remember I was with my closed eyes, and suddenly I was... how to say it? Laying on the
floor. You're on the ground.
Yeah, I was on the ground, but he didn't touch me. Yeah. I swear. He didn't touch me. And I was on the floor, on the ground, crying, couldn't stop to crying. The service, it was finished, and I was still on the ground crying. It was so a special night. So that night, I received Christ in my Christ, in my heart.
In your life, yeah.
In my life, yeah.
That's amazing. What a testimony, yeah. I'm gonna try using that next time somebody walks in during service. Hey, you.
Hey, you. Yeah. It works. It works.
The Holy Spirit was obviously moving in that pastor's heart at that moment.
The Holy Spirit supported.
And so you got saved at 19. You had just met Nubia as well. around that time, and she became a Christian right before you.
Yeah.
Then you became a Christian, and then you picked up a guitar soon after that.
Yeah, I started.
And haven't put it down since. Wasn't that beautiful worship they led us in this morning? I think that's one of the things that we really connected over was music. The first time we met, I remember there was his English wasn't nearly as good as it is now, and it really is good. We connected over worship, just sitting and playing music and worshiping together at the orphanage in Carmen, Sudan. And the Lord did a really neat work on that trip. But I think one of the things that, you know, the Lord really put on your heart at that time was the verse Romans 12:2.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
share about that a little.
Yeah, because I became Christian, and that's what I said. The Bible says as well that everything works.
Romans 8:28. All things work for our good.
Yep. So before that, before I became Christian, I remember that I loved music and instruments, but I didn't play any instrument. I didn't have the opportunity to learn or something. But once I was a church, as a Christian, something started burning in my heart for music. Like, you know, this is mine. This is what I want to. This is what I want to do. This is what I want to be. I'm playing some instrument, and I start playing guitar. And I met Nubia there, and she sings beautiful. And that was one of the things that I put my eye on her. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we started dating. And yeah, Romans 12:2 it says about do not conform to this world. It says that.
Romans 12:2. Let's get that up.
12:2. Romans 12:2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove that the will of God is that which is good and acceptable and perfect. And so I started to change my mind. Yeah. But one of the things that we have to do to seek that is reading the Word of God.
Amen.
Yeah. And I just started reading the Word of God, but in a passionate way, you know.
Yeah.
It was new for me, but it was so good to learn about the Word of God.
Yeah. So the Lord began to change your life.
I could change, yeah.
Conform, not be conformed to the world anymore, but being transformed into the will of God, living according to His will.
Oh, man.
And your life totally changed. Left the fast life. Started using guitar for worshiping Jesus.
Yeah.
And then fast forwarding a little bit, maybe what, 12 years or so after that, or maybe more than that, 15 years after that?
To get...
To Carmen, Sudan.
Yeah.
How did you... Because that's where we met, and that's where our story kind of begins. And
so we got married when I was 25.
Yep.
Yeah.
And during that time at Carmen, Sudan, how many of you guys know Miguel and Suri? They've been running the mission down there for a number of years. Miguel's father actually was instrumental in starting it back in the 80s. His son Miguel, about our age, he's been the director there for a number of years. And a couple years ago, his son Asaf had a brain tumor that was cancerous. And they were having to do treatments on his son and leave the orphanage. And they couldn't really manage the orphanage like they were able to before. And so during that time, he reached out to his friend Luis in Nubia and said, "Hey,
yeah.
Would you pray about coming and helping direct and run and manage the orphanage while we're doing medical treatments for our son?" And so that's when Luis and Nubia showed up at Carmen, Sudan. And prior to that, there hadn't been another Mexican family on staff at Carmen, Sudan full-time, like, in
mm-hmm.
that way.
Yep.
And so that was a new thing. And during that time, that's when we met you guys. But talk a little bit about your heart for the kids during that time at Carmen, Sudan. What was going on in you?
Yeah, I think it's important to mention that we moved to the mission before Asaf got cancer.
Oh, it was before.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's important because God moved us to there to be a living like a volunteer family. We wanted to help them. We were visiting that place years before, and then God started putting something in our hearts to move,
yep.
Living in that place. And that was awesome. I remember the first night living in the mission. We were laying in our bed, looking out the roof, and Nubia said, "What are we doing here?
Yeah.
What are we doing here?" It was so fast. It was so fast. So we get there, and then as I've got cancer, the son of Miguel, and it was a very hard season for us, and it was a pandemic as well.
Yeah, but so, the Lord had brought you there preemptively.
Yeah, brought us for any years for.
Yeah,
for
to
that
take care of things. And during that time, you know, you shared a lot of your heart for the kids, the compassion that the Lord really bonded your heart to the orphans that were handicapped there at Carmen Sudan.
Yeah, when I started to work with them, it's easy to love them.
Yeah.
So easy to love those kids because you feed them, you change them, you put them in the shower, everything you did with them and you all the whole day, 24/7 with them, and it's easy to love them. So when I started to work, I remember that I thought that I was never able to do this. But now that I'm doing this, I think I feel good. I feel good doing this. And I started to replace that feeling on the boys and the girls. So if they felt sad or loneliness, I wanted to cover that. I wanted to replace those feelings.
Yeah.
And that feels good.
Yeah, to help them.
And I think that God prepared me for that.
During that time, so you had 2 years that you committed to Carmen Sudan, correct?
We went for 1 year, and we ended up.
And you ended up 2 years.
Yeah.
So at the end of that 2 years, I think we had taken 2 work trips to build a chapel there at Carmen Sudan, and our third trip, finishing up the chapel project, is you and Nubia, your time was up. You had moved south to your hometown, which is Maniadero. Now, Maniadero is, anyone been to Ensenada before? That area, La Bufadora, that's the area where these guys live. So the Carmen Sudan mission is up closer to Tecate. And so about 1.5-2 hours south is Maniadero, where these guys' hometown is south of Ensenada. And they had already moved from the orphanage on our third trip working on that chapel. And of course, I missed them. Like, oh, man, Luis and Nubia aren't here. I don't get to spend time with them on this trip. But I had heard that they were trying to build a house for their family. And all they had at that time was a small trailer. And it wasn't like a, you know, nice fifth wheel like what some of you might have enjoyed when you go camping and stuff. It was an old trailer that had really the guts ripped out of it. It was just one room. And the family of four was all staying in this one-room little trailer right next to a tiny piece of property that they had for their home. They had property, but no home. And so on that trip, I heard that they were trying to build a home. And some friends of theirs, Miguel and Sudi from Carmen Sudan, said, "Hey, we know you want to build a house," but they didn't have any money, didn't have any means to build a home. You can't just go to the bank and get a loan like you can in the U.S. Mm-hmm. to build a house down in Mexico. And so all Luis knows is he wants to serve the Lord, but he also wants to provide a home for his family.
Yeah.
And you kind of had those two desires conflicting a little bit with each other, didn't you? Because you loved working at the mission and the orphans, but you also felt like you needed to provide a home for your own kids during that time. And you felt pretty conflicted.
Yeah, that's what I was feeling. Also, I remember that your group, Riverview, team, it was the only group that came in to the mission at that time.
Yeah.
So it's important to mention because that's what I met Daniel there. So, but it's supposed that there's no groups coming in to the mission.
There's no other groups coming for those years.
For the pandemic.
Yeah.
I don't know how do you get the permission to get in.
I just showed up.
You just showed up,
coming.
Yeah, like an angel, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we met there, and then, I was struggling with that, with those two ideas. We really wanted to stay at the mission, working with those kids. We love the kids. We suffered living that orphanage, but also we wanted to provide to my family a house that we didn't have.
And that's the challenge we all have, isn't it? Like, sometimes you have two conflicting desires. There's, you know, Paul talks about the desires we have, the worldly desires and the desires of our flesh, right, are pulling us in one direction. And then the desires to follow the Lord and the Spirit may be pulling us in a different direction. And at other times, maybe you've experienced this where you have multiple desires that are both godly and good, but they seem to be in two separate directions. Have you ever felt that before? And I think that's really what you were experiencing is you want to provide for your family. That's a good and godly thing. Amen. But then he was also feeling like, I love serving these orphans and want to serve God with my life, but it seems like I can't do both of these. If I want to build a home for my family, I have to go get a job in the world. He was looking at driving a truck, delivering packages or whatever, but it would take him away from the ministry. Mm-hmm. It would take him permanently out of being able to serve the Lord at an orphanage and, you know, be involved in the building God's kingdom like you wanted to. So seemingly, these two desires and dreams that you had were incompatible with each other. Mm-hmm. And so they sought to start building this home, and their friend said, hey, we know you don't have the money to build a home. So Suri said, can we start a GoFundMe for you guys? And so he goes, I don't know what that is, but sure.
We didn't know what's that for. Yeah. I would say, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, sure.
If it helps, yeah, do it.
Yeah. So she started GoFundMe.
Yeah.
And then what happened?
And then you were the only person to text me.
I was the only one that
responded. Yeah, you're the only one to respond. Saying, Luis, I heard that you want to build a house, and so what do you need? You need labor or materials or what? And I said, both. And both. I have anything. I have a piece of land right here, and the only thing I know is God wants to build me a house. Because we've been praying a lot to a house, you showed up that way.
Yep. So that third trip, I was finishing the chapel at Carmen Sudan. I took one of those days, and I drove down to see his property where he was living. And it was just, I mean, it was nothing, just dirt. And we're talking a 10 by 20 meter property lot. So that's 30 feet by 60 feet. That's the size of their property. Very small. But it was small enough that I could wrap my head around it, right? So I looked at this lot and I thought, I think we could build a house that size. I didn't know how it was going to work. I didn't know if God was going to have us help you or not. I just said, what do you want to build? I'll pray about it. I'll go back to my church and share with them this need that you have. And I saw the faithfulness of Luis and Nubia during their time at Carmen Sudan, serving the orphans there. I saw their heart for the Lord and worship. And even since they had left Carmen Sudan, were living on this property trying to build a home for themselves down further south, they were leading worship at their church down there. Nubia's brother is a pastor of a church. And they were leading worship, serving at the church there. In fact, we got a picture of the church that Marcus is going to throw up and on the screen. And this picture shows the church with a roof, but it didn't have a roof when we first visited. They were just having church with 3.5 walls, really, and no covering. Just sun beating down or rain pouring in. Whatever the weather was, it was that weather inside the church. And so this is the church they were meeting in, and we saw their faithfulness, you know. And so God just really put on my heart that we were supposed to do whatever we could. So after Luis said, hey, this is what we want to do, just a simple house with a roof over our head and kitchen, and we started working on conceptual plans for it. I went back to our church that next Sunday at Riverview in Coos Bay and said, hey, there's an opportunity. We finished the chapel project at Carmen Sudan. We didn't know what was next. Our trips were like, we'd take groups of men down, 8 or 15 men at a time, and we would just work. Just build and work and Bible study and eat and work some more. And that's kind of the nature of our trips. And we wanted to do more of them. The guys that go on these trips just love them. They're like, you know, fighting who gets to sign up for our next Mexico trip. Because it's like a week-long men's retreat. It costs $200, $200 to $300 per guy for a week-long mission trip. And which is, like Chris said, it's an amazing thing that we can drive down there. It's just fuel money and then food, pretty much. We don't even stay in hotels. We leave at 2 p.m. in the afternoon, and we show up at 8:30 in the morning the next day. We just switch drivers and drive through the whole night. You don't hit LA traffic or anything. Everyone's sleeping. And we hit the ground running. And so the guys are like, what's our next project? What's our next trip? So I came back to church and said, hey, many of you have met Luis and Nubia from the other orphanage. They need to build a house for their home and for their family, rather. And maybe the Lord wants us to be a part of that. So that Sunday, we just took an offering and said, hey, if you want to give towards this project, and if God provides, then we'll help. If he doesn't provide, he's got someone else to take care of this need. Hmm. And that's how we trust the Lord, isn't it? We don't pressure people to give. We just give opportunity. And that Sunday, $35,000 was given. $35,000 specifically for that project. And that's all glory to the Lord. As they say in Mexico, gloria adios.
Gloria a Dios.
I can't roll my R's. Don't make fun of me.
Gloria a Dios.
We say praise the Lord here, but glory to God, because he stirred in the hearts of his people to give. 35 grand, and that's what we built his house for. It's $35,000. And so over the course of two week-long trip, and then two more week-long trips, we completed their house. This is the real crazy part. After the first trip we did, that first two-week trip, they moved in when we left. So from dirt, 2 weeks working, and then we drove away. They moved into the house, and we're living in the house.
Yeah.
Because it was better than the trailer. Yeah. And they had some running water. They had some rough electrical, God is providing amazing ways. So we built them a house. That was back in like 2021, maybe 2022, when we built the house for them. And I thought that was it. You know, I just thought, okay, we're
done.
We did that.
We're done.
What's next, Lord? You know, move on. But the Lord had more for us to do down there with Luis and his family in that community. And so we had noticed this church that didn't have a roof that they were attending. And Luke Frechette from South Beach said, hey, you know, we want to be a part of that. In fact, in the picture, in the chair in the very back sitting down, that's Adam Durkin from South Beach Church. He's the missions pastor at South Beach in Newport. And a lot of those other guys are from the Riverview crew. But he came on that trip and saw this. He saw the work that we're doing. And they said, we want to help put a roof on that church. So we put a roof on the church the next trip. In 1 week, that roof was done. And we welded all those trusses and all that stuff, and God provided the funds and the labor. And then after that, we thought, okay, I think we're done.
See you.
And on that trip, the Lord just spoke in a mighty way, an unexpected way, because Luis shared that the Lord had been putting a dream in their hearts and showing them that God didn't just give them this home for them to enjoy, this house for their family to just... It's the nicest house around, he says, the nicest home around this neighborhood. And God didn't just give us this for us, right, is what you told me. And you knew the Lord had something else. And you started putting in their heart, what if you had an orphanage here by your home in this community? And so on that trip that we put the roof on that church, he said, hey, Daniel, Nubia and I have been praying and talking, and we would love to have an orphanage here. And I'm like, whoa, like slow down, man. I mean, we built a house, we put a roof on the church, like an orphanage, like that's a big deal. That's like next level. And I think so often this is how God works in our lives. When he asks us to take steps of faith, he just starts us off with one small step. Isn't that true? He just shows us one small step and we're like, oh, that's not too big of a deal. I can take that small step. I can handle that step. Okay, I can do that. But then the Lord's like, okay, now here's the next step. That's a little scary, but okay, it's just a small step. And it's just step by step. Isn't that true? Like, we're called to walk by
faith,
not by sight. It's just step after step, this walk of faith. And that's what this whole thing's been for us. Okay, what's the next step? All right, I guess we'll do this trip. Okay, what's the next step? And the Lord just keeps revealing more and more. And this is what he does when we're faithful, right? Jesus says, whoever's faithful in the small things, I will give them greater things, bigger things. Mm-hmm. And so I want to encourage us all as a, you know, you as Coastline Church, the members of the church here, be faithful with whatever God's given you. It might not be this huge, you know, kingdom shifting work yet at this point. It might just be one small thing. It might be just going to work and being a good employee and serving your employer as unto the Lord. It might be just being a stay-at-home mom, raising a couple small children, and just teaching them the ways of the Lord and being consistent with them and being present for them. And it might not seem like some huge deal, but be faithful with what God has given you in this season, because whether we're faithful in the present season with what God's given us will determine what he's going to allow us to step into in the next season. And so I believe this has been a testimony of Luis and Nubia's faithfulness, that God keeps opening up more opportunities for them, and also for our group to be able to be a part of this awesome work. So on that trip, the Lord really spoke prophetically through one of the guys on the trip. And he gave a devotion that morning, and the Lord just so confirmed that we were supposed to give a very large amount as a church to help buy some property. And you'd think, oh, it's Mexico. It's like, you know, a couple thousand bucks for property, right? It's not. It's very expensive, especially in the area where they live. It's an agricultural valley under these beautiful mountains. And the property that we end up getting for the orphanage, there's two lots. One was $75,000 and the other was $57,000. So not cheap. It's $132,000 for both properties. And so that was a big investment. But on that trip, the Lord's like, you're to move forward and purchase these properties. And at the same time, back at our church in Coos Bay, we had started a private school, and it was growing. We needed to do building projects there. And we thought, how can we do all these things? How can we expand the ministry here in Coos Bay and then also be sending all this money down to Mexico to do work down there? And it doesn't compute. It doesn't pencil out. It doesn't make sense that we could do all these. But God isn't limited, is he, in his resources? So often we think, oh, it's got to be this or this. And God's like, well, how about we do that and that? How about we do both? And that's what the Lord did with your home. I'm going to give you a home for your family and that heart you have for the orphans.
Yeah,
I'm going to make a way for that. And so that's kind of where we've landed, where we're at a place now where we've got property. We have built another building, which is the bunkhouse. And I want to show a little video to you guys to kind of give you an idea of the bunkhouse project. This is the first kind of project directly related to the orphanage. Mm-hmm. There's going to be several videos that we show, but the first video is the long bunkhouse, the Riverview February trip. Yeah, bunkhouse video. And this shows our trip. And there's some audio. I might talk over it a little bit as it's going.
Looking great.
Yeah.
These guys are killing it.
If you go to that next photo, this shows South Beach in June from Newport. They did a trip, and they finished some of the bathroom stalls. And those are the shower doors that they put on there and stained. And it just looks really good. So that's kind of the finished product of the bathrooms. And that next photo shows the South Beach crew. This is showing the bunkhouse. Upstairs is the study room. And also we're going to talk about where Luis's church. That's another part of this. The church that he decided to start several months ago is meeting up there. And but that's the South Beach group. And so, you know, prayerfully, other groups like South Beach and Coastline and Riverview and Lincoln City, I know, is interested in Bannon Christian Fellowship with Jason Beal, and are going to be able to do trips like this to go down, and youth trips and all sorts of stuff. Lots of opportunities. So we built the bunkhouse, and last February, after I went, I think five different trips last year, a week long each. So pray for my wife. because that's the 5 weeks I was in Mexico. You feel bad?
Sorry, Anna. I'm sorry.
Lots of good Mexican food, so that keeps bringing me back down there. But no, 5 weeks last year, and in February, the trip then, when we were leaving, Louis said, hey, can we use the bunkhouse? Like, this is a nice big building right next to my house. Like, they have Bible studies, women's Bible studies. Nubia leads a women's group of, what, 25 women every week, and they were having that in their home. And so they started meeting in the bunkhouse, and a couple weeks later, Lucy said, hey, I, what do you think? I think I should start a church. And I'm like, dude, this guy's crazy. Like, okay, you want to start an orphanage?
And he said, no, you can't use it. That's for us.
Yeah.
That's what I said.
That bunkhouse is for us to use. You can't use it. No. I said, yeah, of course, use it. And so Louis started a church, and that was back in February, March. So about 6 months ago. And 50 people are coming to that.
We're gathering like 50 people on Sundays.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Amazing. There's a video. If you follow them on Facebook, their church has a... And I encourage you, find Nubia and Luis, connect with them today. Find them on social media, and you can get their church name to watch. They've got a baptism video on there. They just baptized some people recently up on the patio of the bunkhouse. Really amazing work that God is doing.
Yep.
Transforming families. They had a marriage night a couple months ago.
Mm-hmm.
Marriage night with a bunch of couples upstairs at the bunkhouse and poured into teaching. Youth services that are gathering. Just so neat what God is doing. And what I love is we're in a little bit of a holding pattern to build the actual orphanage, and we'll skip forward to maybe that part of the discussion. But the end goal for the orphanage is to maximum capacity house 40 kids, 20 boys, 20 girls. That's the maximum. We're not putting a limit on the Lord, but that's what we see as the full capacity of that property, what it can handle. We'll probably start out with 10 and 10, 10 boys, 10 girls. And but until we can, before we can build it, we do, like I said, have to do all the building progress and all the whole thing has to be done through the Mexican government because they have basically... kind of like DHS, they have the control of the kids that are orphaned that they will hand over to and entrust to them. So they regulate and make sure the buildings are being built safe, and that's a good thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's kind of slowed us down a little bit in our moving forward of the orphanage for now. It's also a very large expense. We've invested, I think, $350,000 in the last 3 years on these trips. Most of that's property purchase, building the bunkhouse. That was about $100,000 to build that bunkhouse. Again, not bad for 4,000 square feet. $25 a square foot, not bad. Built their home. And so total project, about 350. And I'd say we have 350 probably to 500,000 left to complete the orphanage. I don't know where that money's coming from, but God does. And that's our job. When the Lord says go, you don't say how. You just say yes. Okay. It's like Abraham. You know, Abram in Genesis 12, God said, Abram, take your family and go to a land that I will show you. And Abraham didn't say, well, where is this land and what's it called? God just said, go, I will show you. And this is the whole step-by-step thing.
Amen.
Psalm 119. You want to share about that a little bit, Luis?
Yeah, we were talking last night about it and how God has chosen you just a little bit of the big thing. Psalms 119, 105.
Yep.
That's rather right. As a lamp, if you have a lamp in your hands, you can see just 3 meters maximum. And that's the way we have to walk with the Lord, you know. Step on faith in every step you do, even if you see just a little bit, keep going. Do not stop. Always keep going.
Yep. Yeah, that's so true. God's word is a lamp to our feet, a light into our path. I love that imagery that if you're holding a lamp in the dark, it only, like you're saying, it only illuminates a few steps in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
And so often God's word to us is just what's right in front of us, not what's way out there ahead in the future. And for me, I know I can say if God had told me from the beginning when I met Luis, hey, you're going to build him a home, you're going to put a roof on his church, then you're going to build his bunk house and his orphanage and all this. And I would have said, oh, that's too much. I can't do that.
Yeah.
But the Lord just gave us that first step. And that is our walk of faith. Church, that's what God calls us to do, is just step by step, follow him, listen to his word, and follow where he leads, little by little, just to remain faithful. Amen. And so that's what I love about Luis and Nubia, is that in this holding pattern, this period of time where the bunkhouse is done now, we can't quite start on the orphanage until the Mexican government, pray for us, because we need... We're really praying for God to provide an architect, someone that can draw up conceptual plans and turn them into working plans. And with the different churches we're traveling to, that's one thing that you can pray for us. Or maybe you're an architect, you say, I'd love to help with that part of the project. But we need to submit plans for the orphanage building. We've got ideas and concepts, but we need to submit that to the Mexican government. Until then, we can't start building anything in the way of building buildings. We have a trip in November, which I know Pastor Chris is planning on coming and maybe bringing one or two guys. Jason Beal's plan on coming on that trip as well with somebody from his church in Bandon. There's going to be actually four or five different senior pastors that are interested in this work coming to check it out and just pray and see if the Lord's leading their church to have a bigger role in this work. So that's November 8th through the 16th. The trip we're going on in November, we're going to probably be doing a lot of fencing because we can do that without permits and approval. But in the meantime, Luis isn't just sitting there going, well, I guess we're just going to sit and wait.
No.
He's like, I guess I'm going to start a church. And so they're, you know, just God is moving through this family and their faithfulness, changing their community. Families are getting saved and transformed. The youth are getting on fire and excited for Jesus. The women are being poured into through Nubia, weekly Bible studies. They're doing midweeks as well at the bunkhouse, and it's getting used. And I just encourage each one of us in that this morning, and we're going to get ready to kind of close here in a minute, but just encourage you, if you're in a season of waiting on that next step, and you're not sure, like, okay, God, you've put this on my heart, but I can't quite do that yet. Don't just sit and do nothing. Say, Lord, what do you want me to do in the waiting? What do you want me to do in this season when I can't step into that yet? And you guys have done that. And it inspires me and encourages me to see their faith in action. And I'm encouraged this morning to be here at Coastline and just see the body of Christ on the northern coast, as we're down on the southern Oregon coast, just seeing faithful people who love Jesus and are continuing to gather together and seek his face. And the Lord is good. He is still moving. Man. Not just here in Astoria and in Warrenton. The Lord is moving all up and down the coast. And this is a pretty cool thing. Luis is on the coast, on the Pacific Ocean, south of Ensenada. Mm-hmm. And the Lord brought another coastal church all the way from Coos Bay in southern Oregon. And then Bandon Christian Fellowship in southern Oregon. Newport, South Beach Church in Newport, Oregon, on the coast. And now Coastline Christian Fellowship on the northern Oregon coast. It's a coastal thing,
coastal
right?
thing.
And we understand that coasties are a little bit different, aren't they? We're a different breed. I can say that because I am one. We're all on the coast. All we share the Pacific Ocean, and the Lord's just kind of brought a lot of us together to team up on this amazing work. And so we're just excited to see what God is going to do moving forward. He's got good plans. Jeremiah 29:11 says. Man.
Good plans.
He's got good plans for us.
Yeah, there's a pretty cool saying that says, "If God guides, He provides." Mm-hmm. So He's been providing in amazing ways in our lives, In our case, when we had to move from the mission to our house, it was hard, but God provided the house. And once we had a house, God provided a place, a bunkhouse, but a church as well, to be working on. Because he knows my heart. Mm-hmm. We want to work for him. So now we are working at the church. God is providing for the orphanage.
Yep.
Dios está proveyendo.
Yep. God is providing.
Yeah.
Él está proveyendo.
And it's amazing because this is a 25 trip for us since we left home.
25 days?
Yeah. It will be total.
It'll be total. 25
yeah.
days?
Yeah.
Really?
So it's
over 3 weeks.
That's so much time to leave the church. And it's amazing how God has been providing people, good people, to help us. The church is running over there.
Yeah.
And we have 6 months that we start.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
You already have faithful men, that
yeah.
women that are leading the church.
Absolutely,
while you're
yeah.
gone. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord for that. Amen. You know, I know in closing, Luis, that's a famous pastor line, by the way. In closing, I'll say that 30 more times this morning. No. But a big part of the testimony that you shared with me, Luis, was Romans 28, how God works all things together for good, and how even your hard childhood and having an abusive father and a broken home, how that birthed and put in you a heart and for kids that don't have a godly home, don't have parents who love them, don't have that stability, don't know our Heavenly Father's love for them.
Amen.
And the Lord used that brokenness in your life to work it.
So, yeah, now we want to be, the whole family, we want to be an instrument, a part, just a tiny part, to introduce God to those kids, to replace that there's no father.
Yep.
So how I experienced.
Yep.
I experienced that thing. Mm-hmm. When God comes to my life, do I have a present father every day and every single day? So I want to be part of this. We want to be parents that they don't have.
Yeah. And that's a beautiful thing. You hear what he said. We want to be the parents that they don't have.
Mm-hmm.
And let's throw up that image of the family one more time that says Casa Hogar on it. I think maybe it doesn't say Casa Hogar. It says that on the flyer. On the flyer, you'll see this name, Casa Hogar. The H is silent. CasaHogarMission.org is the website we've created. But the name of this orphanage is going to be Casa Hogar Niños para Cristo. Mm-hmm. So that's Casa Hogar is the name they use for orphanage in Mexico. And it's like house, home. You see, because I kept making this mistake and referring to the kids that they're going to take in as orphans. Mm-hmm. And Luis is like, no, they're not orphans.
No, they're not orphans anymore. They are son and daughters, you know?
Isn't that awesome?
That you're building a house, but you're building also a home. They're going to feel at home, you know, with the father and the mother.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why the name is Casa Hogar Niños para Cristo, Children for Christ.
Children for Christ, yeah. And the part of the long-term vision of this, I mean, is to have groups like us from our churches go down, and once it's established, there's a lot of work to get there till it's established, but is to get to know these kids and pour into them. So if you needed a reason to work on your Spanish, mm-hmm. start working on that now. But go down, and they want to teach the kids the scriptures and teach them about worship and how to play instruments.
Sports.
And sports. And Luis is, for years, played soccer in their league there. He just retired recently because he's in his 40s now. I'm not in my 40s yet, just for the record.
My niece can't handle that anymore.
But I think I'm more broken than Luis already. But so teaching sports and music and about Jesus. And one of the family members is a school teacher, and she wants to bring, you know, have a school at the orphanage. And there's a big vision. Mm-hmm. It's big dreams, but mm-hmm. we've got a big God.
Mm-hmm.
And we believe Amen. He's going to provide for all these things
Amen.
In his timing, in his way. And so we would just love for you guys to join in prayer for. And Chris, if you want to come up, I just want to pray for the family. Nubia, if you and Camila and Abril want to come up, just pray together for them and what God wants to do. And if you feel led to be a part of this individually or as a church moving forward, And again, those, yeah, you guys stand right up here. Those flyers in the foyer, grab one of those before you leave today. And please continue to pray for these guys and just awesome work. And Chris, you got your mic on there?
I do.
If you want to pray for them.
Yeah, and just adding something before we pray. I don't think we're going to do a response time because we're running a little late, but I do want to end on praying for them. But one of the things that really resonated, I introduced them to some of the story is Fine Cuisine yesterday, Fultano's Pizza, a.k.a. But I got to, like, hear Luis's story. And one of the reasons he felt led to start a church was because, like me, he got saved in a different denomination. And it was a great church. There's nothing the matter with it. But they didn't teach through the word, verse by verse, line by line. And when he got exposed to that, it changed him and his family's life. Like, they just grew so much. And like it is, can be even here, it's hard to find Bible-teaching churches that just do that. And so for him, he really wanted to give people that, like, because he saw the profound effect it had on his life. And that really resonated with me because my life was changed. My wife and I grew so much more when we came to this church and sat under verse-by-verse teaching and stuff. So it's a great work that they're doing, just as they shared. So, and who knows? I mean, we're going to pray as a church and see how he wants us to come alongside, whether that's prayerfully, financially, going down there, taking teams. And who knows, maybe, you know, in the next year, several of you guys are going down and getting to serve alongside them as well. Amen. So just join me in praying how the Lord would for them, but also how the Lord would want us to come alongside them. Lord God, we just thank you so much for the faithful testimonies of your glory in their lives, of all you've done in just like saving them and bringing them into that saving relationship with you, bringing them out of that bad situation and using it for your good to draw them to yourself, Lord. We acknowledge that and praise you for that. And then just the work you've done, these things that are great things, we know, Lord, you want to do great things in all our lives, but just that started with simple steps of faith, just obedience, just listening and doing what you said, and then you doing the rest. In essence, bringing, just like those your disciples brought those 5 loaves and 2 fish, just what they had, and you took it and broke it and gave it back and multiplied it and fed thousands. That's what you do, Lord. With our meager offering, you take it, and you do more than we can ever ask or imagine or think. And that's what you've done in their lives. And they want to give you glory for that and share it, Lord, so that we can be encouraged and be reminded in our own lives to just listen and obey, to commit our way to the Lord, trusting you so you can act. That's what Psalm 37:5 says. And we want to do that, and they're doing that. And so, Lord, we pray that you continue to go before them. You've already done great things, but we know there's even greater things. And this orphanage, even though there's a lot of like hoops to jump through and getting things approved, getting plans and all that, Lord, we know that you've already got all that figured out. You're not asking us to figure out. You're just asking us to trust that you have it figured out and to keep listening and obeying and moving forward. So we pray for that for them, that they'd be able to move forward in faith, that they'd be encouraged in seeing all that you have done, and that would give them faith in the present to keep doing what you're doing, and that they'd be faithful in the meantime while they're waiting for that. You're doing a great work. You're bringing people to them that need to hear the good news about Jesus through the teaching of your word. And you're using them who are faithfully doing that, just telling people about Jesus using your word to save people. And so continue to bring people. Continue to grow that church, Lord. Continue to bring broken people that need to be healed and saved to them. And for your glory, Lord, we may your favor be upon them. And for the things that need to happen for the orphanage, give them favor in front of the government. Help them see the fruit. Help them see their heart. Help them see their love for these kids. And I pray all that would just can go smoothly in such a way that it's obvious you did it, so they could have further testimonies of your faithfulness in their lives, Lord. Help them not listen to the enemy and his discouragement. Help them just stand on the truth of your word and what you've said, Lord, because that's all that matters. And pray, Lord, we pray that you would give us wisdom in these other churches that you've kind of brought to come alongside them. If you would have us be a part of that, Lord, and serve them and serve you in serving them in some way, Lord, make that clear to us, whether that's individually, even now, maybe you're telling some of the people here, Lord, that you want them to come alongside them in some way, or it, as a church as a whole. Just make that clear to us, Lord. We want to be a part of taking your gospel to all ends of the earth, starting here, but then going out to all ends. And we want to be faithful. We don't want to miss out on those opportunities to share the good news of Jesus. So help us know what your will is and help us just obey. Even if it seems crazy to us, we know that, Lord, you can do anything. And we don't want to limit it by our small understanding, Father. So we commit them to you. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.